case you missed out on all the fun on the show, you can catch up on the Josh and Maddie podcast right now.
Hello and welcome back to everyone. Our weekly podcast this is, guys. We're doing them weekly now, if you haven't noticed. It's a bit of a wrap-up of the best bits that happened throughout the week.
Well, it's been a hot minute since we've done one.
I know.
Because I've been away.
I've been doing little mini podcasts, but I feel like if I do an intro on my own for like, hey, here's more of me, I just don't know if people want to hear that.
Yeah. Well, we are back the first full week since I had surgery, which has been an interesting one. You know, I had surgery 23 days ago now.
23 days ago. How's your throat feeling 23 days post-op?
Yeah, great. Not really. It's very, very sore still. It's one of those things, if I had a normal job where I just sat down at a desk, I'd be fine and it would be probably all healed and not any more pain. It's the fact that I talk for a living and
That's true.
A lot of more talking than the normal person. So by this time of the day where we've just finished the show, it is very, very painful.
It's probably also a bit of a blessing that we're in lockdown because you also do commentating or announcing or something in the basketball, which uses your throat. And you're also a dance teacher, which I imagine you need to use your throat for as well.
Yeah, well, dance teaching's been paused for a little bit anyways. So that has helped. Well, not really, because I like the money from dance teaching. And also, it gets me out and physical and stuff like that. But, yeah, having lockdown, it's a bittersweet kind of thing, lockdown.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's the thing, yeah, if you don't know, so we are in lockdown. We have been in lockdown for over a week and a half now,
week and a half.
So we are meant to be coming out next week on Wednesday. Will be the first day out. If that happens, we don't know, but
who knows? Well, everyone's saying it's looking good, but, like, don't get our hopes up like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's so hard to guess what is actually going to happen and what is going through the minds of the politicians and the premiers and the chief health officers and all that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, we're getting through it. Lockdown, it doesn't impact us as much as it does other people. You know, lots of people have to close their businesses and they have to work from home. For us, we're pretty normal, which we are very, very lucky and very thankful for, which kind of creates a bit of normality still. You know,
yes.
We get up and we get dressed and we go to work. We don't just roll out of bed and open a laptop kind of thing. So that's kind of all right, but it's very quiet out there.
It is really quiet out there. Really, really quiet. You know, it'll hopefully soon enough be back to some type of normality.
Hopefully it's the last one.
Hopefully. Fingers
crossed.
Well,
today they announced that the Pfizer vaccine is approved for 12 to 15-year-olds.
12 to 15-year-olds?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So at the moment it's just been 16+, but the TGA has given approval overnight for it to be 12 to 15s, and they're looking at vaccinating the like vulnerable children that have like health impacts and stuff like that. But then the rest of them will have to wait until the adult population is vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah. And we actually need some Pfizer for them to have as well.
But we got 1 million this week. Didn't you hear ScoMo saying that?
And he finally said sorry. How good is that? anyway, we're not a political podcast, guys. It's all right. Enjoy the weekly wrap-up and we'll be back on air on Monday at 6 a.m.
Alrighty, bye. You and Eden have been living together for, what, six months now?
Yeah. Well, actually, coming up on a year.
Living together for a year?
Yeah, because we were in one place for 6 months and we've been in this new place, maybe 9 months. Been in this new place for about 3 or 4 months.
Okay, fair enough. So you guys have been around each other. And I feel that you don't know your partner until you really live with them.
No.
I've said you don't know love until it's 2 a.m. and you can hear them on the toilet.
Mm.
It's true, though. You don't know you really want to be with someone until that happens, I feel.
Well, our toilet's on the other side of our house, so if you hear them, then you know it's bad.
And then you get concerned and you go and check
off. Because you love them.
But when it comes to living with partners or even just other people, you can sometimes pick up on their bad habits.
Yep.
And they've got the little things that just annoy you. Everyone has them. Nobody is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a woman has opened up about the controversial thing her husband does without a care in the world, talking about farts.
Okay.
I don't like to really usually talk about that stuff, but apparently he pushes them out with maximum force and is proud of it. So she said it in a group saying his name is Ben, her partner.
Mm-hmm.
Ben had done this sort of thing from very early on in our relationship and he continues to do it now. In his eyes, farting, in fact, any type of flatulence is perfectly normal. Like Shrek, Ben says better out than in whenever I raise it as an issue. So
he's not wrong.
I've never heard you do one.
No, it is better out than in. No, I'm polite in the workplace. When I'm at home, I absolutely let loose.
Oh, would it? So not would your partner Eden say that it's a bad habit of yours?
Oh, 100%. And she would agree that she's just as worse.
Oh, okay.
We are as bad. So Esther, our daughter, has no hope because we're both gassy, gassy humans.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. But I feel like we all know our partner's bad habits and we just live with them.
Yeah.
We've maybe brought them up one or two times and we're like, yeah, it's just how they are. So now is your chance to open them to the world, you know.
Yes, to dob your partner in.
To dob your partner in. You can remain anonymous if you need to.
Yeah.
533-1031 is the number. Mm-hmm. What is your partner's worst habit?
That's right.
I know mine to my boyfriend. He's pretty good. He would say that I'm quite a messy person. I leave drawers open. I'm that person that will open a drawer and not close it.
Mm-hmm.
I will have a massive collection of water bottles in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really my worst habit. I don't know what I'm going to say about him, but if you want to let loose what's bad about your partner, 533-1031's the number to call. Pat from Soldiers Hill, what's your partner's worst habit?
Her worst habit is she's one of these people, she doesn't snore in her sleep, she moans in her sleep.
Oh.
What kind of moan? Can you give us an audio example, please?
Okay, here we go. It's like this. It's like...
It sounds like a zombie.
And sometimes the pitch changes till it sounds like a chainsaw starting up or something.
Have you, like, recorded this and played it back to her being like, this is what you sound like?
Absolutely. I've done it that many times. She actually went to one of those sleep doctors to do the overnight test to see if she had sleep apnea and that sort of stuff as well, because I'm like, and she even played it for the doctor saying, this is what my partner recorded. This is me trying to sleep at night.
And nothing. Oh, they were just like, nope, you can continue to sound like a cow in the middle of the night.
Basically, what the doctor said is, your partner should just get some earplugs. That's what he said.
What a great doctor.
Rough.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
I think his name was Dr. Nick.
Hi, everyone.
Have a good one, guys.
Josh and Maddie, Power Ballarat.
Talking bad driving lesson experiences, stories. What happened to you in your driving test?
Yeah, well, it started yesterday because you have discussed how you are now teaching Eden, your partner, to drive. She's
yes.
got her L's. And for me, like, it sparked memories of when I was learning to drive as a teenager. It was quite a few years ago now. First ever lesson, Dad swore at me.
Yep, same.
Because I hit the gutter in a car park with no other cars in it, mm-hmm. and a Donald Duck came out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That was lots of fun. He was horrible to drive with. Dad's listening. You were terrible to drive with.
Dads are the worst.
Mum was all right. Mum was quite calm.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for both my sister and I, we hated if Dad took us driving.
Like, I just feel like dads are more worried about the car than they are about your safety. I felt like my dad was always like, don't scratch the car. And I'm like, Dad, I'm driving. What if, look at me, look after me.
Like, once I got more confident with driving, like a couple of months in, it was all right. But in the very beginning, Dad was horrendous.
Yeah, my mum was. The thing is, I ended up just sticking with Dad most of the time for my my lessons, because my mum and dad have very different driving styles. And any time I went for a drive with my mum, and then, you know, the next day or a little while later, I would go for a drive with my dad. Dad would always go, no, don't do that.
So there's a bit of a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
My sister went for a couple of driving lessons with me as well. And I remember, so the way that I, like, the main time I went and learnt to drive was because I did dance like six times a week after school. And so I would drive to dance with someone and then they would come and pick me up and then I would drive home from dance.
Yeah.
And so one day my sister was like, I'll come and pick you up, like in your car kind of thing. So she picked me up and I walked out of dance, sat in the driver's seat. She had her motorbike helmet on in the passenger seat. I had been driving for like 8 months at this point. I was confident.
Full trust there.
And so she's like, I'm not taking any chances with you driving. And
wow.
I was like, excuse me. And then I was pretty confident and was driving with like one hand and stuff like that. And she's like, nope, two hands on the wheel. And she just sat in the car for a good 15-minute drive with a motorbike helmet on.
Yeah, look, there are a whole heap of stories from, I'm sure everyone's got a story about learning to drive or doing their driver's test. 533-1031, what is your story about learning to drive?
Tam from Lau Lau, what happened in your driving lessons?
Well, I just firstly want to say my father was absolutely brilliant when he taught us to drive.
Well, that's good. Good positive experience.
He was a good one, okay.
Yeah, my mother was a nightmare.
Okay, so it's opposite.
I was driving down Sturt Street and she, you know, the two lanes, I was in the left-hand lane and she told me to watch out for the pole that was on the footpath.
Right. So she had real confidence in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but then on the other hand, I went to Melbourne with her one day when I was on my learners, and on the way home she fell asleep.
That's not handy.
Wow, okay, so there's a complete lack of trust, but also she must feel comfortable enough to fall asleep in the car with you.
Yes, which was very naughty.
How long have you been driving for now?
At least 40 years.
So oh, okay.
Have you had to teach someone else to drive now?
I've had to teach my daughter. She was pretty good, and my son, he was terrible with me. He didn't listen to a word I said. So he ended up going with my father's car.
Ah, okay. Pass it on.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, at least you didn't fall asleep with your kids. That's the positive out of this.
That's true.
Tom from Delacombe, what happened in your driving lesson?
I was out driving and my dad was with me and he's one of those really paranoid types. I was driving along and we were sort of veering off to the side. It was this country road and he thought I was going to run into this bush. So he just grabbed the steering wheel and tried to pull it away. I ended up crashing into a kangaroo.
Oh.
Was the kangaroo stationary or was it jumping out?
I sort of saw it, which is why I was trying to veer away from it, and he thought I was going to hit the bush, but he actually sent me straight into the kangaroo instead. So it was his car, but that was all right.
My dad does the same thing when I was learning to drive. He would grab the steering wheel and steer for me, and everyone's
that's worse.
Not dangerous. That's dangerous.
I would be all right with it, but do I hit the brake? Do I hit the accelerator? Do I hit the clutch? What do I do here? Because you're
just pull the handbrake up and do a doughy. Go for it. Don't actually do that, kids. It's really dangerous.
Thanks, Tom.
No worries.
103.1 Power FM's Josh and Maddie.
Yesterday, a somewhat passionate discussion happened in our office between you, me and Lockie from Workday Hits in regards to grocery shopping.
Yes.
Because we're all, like, commenting on when we wanted to go, like, what to do for lunch and needed to go grocery shopping and things like that.
Mm.
And I talked about my hack is I usually try to go grocery shopping around a Tuesday because on a Tuesday you can see the catalogue that is currently at play in the markets compared to the one that starts tomorrow because special change every day is Wednesdays. So you can see what better
specials are happening. I love that you know that, by the way.
I thought that's common knowledge.
No.
So then if you look at it on Tuesday, you can see, okay, oh, this week's specials, don't need any of this stuff. Tomorrow's ones are going to be better, so I'm going to go tomorrow. And then it sparked this whole thing that you guys were absolutely gobsmacked that I don't buy anything unless it's on special.
Yeah, because that, to me, rules out so much.
It doesn't, though.
But every element, every item you want to buy, there's some brand somewhere that's on special.
Usually, yeah. Or if there's not, I just don't buy it. The only thing, see, I don't understand how this isn't a normal thing. I thought this is how everybody shops.
No, not at all.
The only things that I will guarantee to buy full price is milk, because like milk never gets reduced, vegetables, fruit, like fresh produce kind of thing. Yeah, fresh produce are the only things that I will buy at full price. But if there is a reduced to clear version of it, I will get that first. Do you not do that?
I get if something that I want is on special, I'm like, fantastic. But if something I want is not on special, I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll get it.
No.
Like, I don't go, which I want tomato sauce, but which tomato sauce is on special? Because I'll get that one. I just get the one, whatever the one I want.
Oh, my God. That's so triggering to me.
Why?
That you don't. There's specials there. And I even look at, like, the price per, like, 100 grams or whatever that comes on it. So you can actually determine
how. You're very detailed with your shopping, your grocery
shopping.
Because
I save a lot of money by doing this.
Mm, okay.
So I was talking to Greg about yesterday in the afternoon, my boyfriend, because the way that we plan our shops is around the specials. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's so different to me. It's just so funny to me because that's just not what I go. When I need something, I go shopping.
So when we go shopping, we make a list of the stuff that we need, but if it isn't on special, we don't buy it, pretty much. We wait until it comes on special. If something is half price and it's an item that we use a lot, we'll buy two or three.
What if there's toothpaste that you need but it's not on special?
It's all toothpaste will go on special like every second week at least. The different brands will.
But what if you need it the week it's not on special?
I don't get to the point that I have no toothpaste left.
In a bad world, what if you need toothpaste and it's not on special?
That has never happened to me.
Maddie, I'm trying to get you to imagine, okay? Not the real world. This is not the real world. This is my world that I made up.
If it is a dire situation, yes, I will buy it if it is not on special, but I will do everything I can to avoid buying things at full price because there is nothing more frustrating than going to the shops, buying stuff at full price. And I learned this the hard way. Going to the shops, buying something full price, and then the next week going back and you haven't even used that thing you bought last week and it is now half price.
Mm.
I found that very frustrating. So our whole shop is planned around the specials. We have a list and we go through the catalogue and be like, okay, these are on special, so we'll get them this week. For instance, yesterday when we did a shop, Up and Goes were on special. We love drinking Up and Goes. It's a staple in our diet kind of thing, but we will only buy them if they are on special.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to bring you into this world.
No, we haven't got time, but we 533-1031, call us if you do the same thing. I want to chat to someone else who is this, I don't want to say pedantic, but this meticulous about it. Mary has called up.
I was listening to Maddie, and I do exactly what she does.
Do you?
Yeah, exactly the same thing.
So you don't buy anything, you go to the supermarket, and you don't buy anything that's not on special.
That's right. And my 14-year-old, when he comes shopping with me, if he wants something, he'll say, Mum, can I have this? It's on special.
See, smart. I think I got it from my dad as well because I used to go grocery shopping with my dad and he would only buy stuff on special too.
I just think it's a smart way to shop.
Exactly. Well, you save so much money.
I think it's definitely a smart way to shop. I just didn't think anyone did it.
No, I do it. And when something's on special and I don't need it, I do buy two or three.
Yep, exactly.
Yes. Maddie does the same thing. Okay, yep. Mary, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I think I need proof of this, Maddie. I think I need proof of what you're doing.
Well, I can prove my savings because when you go shop, I shop at Woolies, when you go through the checkout, it says on your receipt, your savings. At the bottom, it says how much money you have saved because of specials. So I will go home and find my receipts and I will come in tomorrow and show you
and
why you should shop with me my way and how much money you could be saving.
All right, that's happening tomorrow on the Power Breaky Show.
103.1 Power FM's Josh and Maddie.
Eden and I yesterday decided to take things into our own hands, matters into our own hands, and create a Facebook group for young parents. Young parents, 16 to 25. We thought, well, this is Eden's experience, okay? I had a very different experience. Well, we had the same experience and a different experience at the same time. Obviously because she was pregnant and she was going to a lot more appointments due to COVID, I wasn't allowed to go. So she was getting a lot of the first-hand experience.
Well, even if without COVID and stuff like that, it's different for everybody going through any experience.
Exactly.
You know, if you guys have another kid ever, that experience will be different once again.
Yeah, that's right. The reason why we started this parenting group for young parents, 16 to 25, it's called Ballarat Young Parents, if you want to go and follow it if you're in there, is because Eden felt, though, that she was quite... A lot of the time she felt discriminated against because she is a young mum. You know, she went to a mother's group. She's been to a mother's group a couple of times, and all of those mothers are mid-30s, you know, in their 30s, mid-30s to late 30s, she said. All the mothers have got careers, they've had children before, they're married with partners, and they're just in a totally different...
It's a different world.
..stage in life, exactly. And she thought, you know what, I feel like I'm so disconnected. I feel like there's no one else around that's going through what I'm going through. And I said, Eden, surely there is. Surely there is other young mums who feel disconnected from society, feel like they've been left behind and not cared about. So we thought, why don't we just make a Facebook group? If we get 5 members, so be it. If we get 1,000 members, so be it. We decided to start a Facebook group, Ballarat Young Parents, for young parents to just chat, hang out. Once COVID's over, obviously, we can do meetups, get together, have some coffee, whatever. Eden was super pumped about this idea because she's like, finally, I am not getting this opportunity to socialize with parents my own age, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make up my own opportunity. And I was like, good on you. Power to you for making your own opportunities.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things because I know, for instance, like my mum is still friends with people that she had like mother's group with.
Yeah.
Which is just like people, you just have babies around the same time
exactly,
and you end up hanging out. And it's kind of, back in those days, it was like through the hospital almost in a sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's still friends with and knows people that were part of the mother's group. And then I went to school with the kids and it was one of those things. And it was a very kind of, you know, community that you feel a part of. So I completely understand where she's coming from because, you know, people have in their mind this idea of still that, you know, you get married, then you have the kid.
Yeah,
or
that's
like,
right.
And that's it, which is really not the case in any way, shape or form, whether because like you get into that, you get married, you have the kid, you might have fertility issues.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you have the kid and then you decide that you want to get married. It doesn't matter how you kind of play your life out. It's your life. You do whatever you want. But, yeah, I can see where she's coming from, that society.
Yeah, we've done it the wrong way, is what she feels. And it was originally going to be the Ballarat Young Mums group. But she said, why not young dads? Like young dads, I mean, dads in general. I feel like dads in general they don't really get, there's no support for them. There's no support for dads. And all the support goes to the mother. Obviously, that's a very important. But, and all the speaking, one thing I did notice whenever a nurse came in or a midwife came in or anything to do with that the baby, the nurse or the midwife would always speak to the mother. I was in the room, but they would not turn their head and look at me.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just kind of that stigma, lack of a better term. I was talking to Dad yesterday, actually, and he was going on, weird story, but he found our Dorothy the Dinosaur tale that we have. And he said that he took my sister to a Wiggles concert. Mm. This was, how old was my sister? Like 25 odd years ago.
Yeah.
He took my sister. He was the only male to take their kid to a concert.
Yeah.
And you look at it now and, you know, dads are going everywhere. But you know, there's a lot more stay-at-home dads around the place. And, you know, the stigma is kind of changing about the roles and responsibility of relationship. Mm. But then there's still kind of, that everything goes straight to the mother. And like, I can't speak from experience because I haven't had a kid or gone through it, but you have
I've told Eden, I was like, Eden wants to become a nurse and a midwife and that pays pretty well. And I said, Eden, if you become that and you start to get paid pretty well, and I'm happy for you to be the breadwinner. I'm so happy for you to earn the most money, bring in the most money. I'm so happy for that. I will just happily look after the child, be home, stay at home dad, whatever. But Ian and I did make this Facebook group, Ballarat Young Parents, for parents who feel that way. So if you are listening, you know someone, please get them together. And after COVID, we are wanting to do, you know, catch up for coffee and meetups and stuff. Socialise.
Play dates. Can I
so
just
cute.
Come? Like, I don't have a kid. But I like kids. This sounds so
okay,
bad.
Okay, all right. We may need to...
No,
security,
like
security.
I just want... It's like how you go to the dog park so you can see all the other puppies.
But you don't have a dog?
I may or may not have done that once in my life.
These US teen pageants and the Miss Universes and the Miss, Miss USA, all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of iconic moments that happen throughout these pageants before COVID, obviously.
Have you ever watched the show Toddlers and Tiaras?
No.
You should go and watch it. It's all about kids in beauty pageants. It's so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the Steve Harvey mess up of Miss Universe, you know, getting the winner up. That was an absolute, you know, scandal. This one, though, comes from Miss Teen USA 2007. South Carolina rocked up to answer a question. And the question was, 1/5 of American children can't locate the U.S. map on, can't locate the U.S. on a map. And then the woman asked, how can we change this? Pretty straightforward question.
Yeah, I feel like with pageants, you need to give politician answers almost.
Exactly.
And
I'm so glad you said that because this is what this is what North Carolina tried to do. She tried to give a politician answer.
Here we go.
And I'm going to ask you at the end of this audio to explain to me what her answer actually was. It goes for a little while, but I'm sure that you will enjoy it as much as I have.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much.
Was that Donald Trump at the end saying thank you very much?
No, it was, I can't remember his name, the American. Okay, the simple question, I want to ask you one question. What was her answer?
Well, she answered it in the beginning saying some people don't have access to maps.
Yeah, which would have been great.
And then she started to go off as to, like, education could be the reason. So, like, if you just cut it there, I'd be like, you didn't word that very well, but I kind of get it.
No.
But then she started asking...
Goes into Iraq and South Africa.
Yeah, I didn't get where she was going with that. I thought, like, initially when she mentioned them, she was saying that they do have access to maps.
I have no idea.
But then I was like, well, maybe she's not saying that because... then she started being like, we need to teach people. And okay, so do you think that they don't have access to maps now? I don't know.
It's like before she was taught, before she went out on stage, it was like her coach or whoever was looking after her said, okay, when they ask you this question, you got to hit all these key points, okay? You got to hit Iraq. You've got to hit our children. Yeah. You've got to hit education. You've got to hit. And she just went, Iraq, education, and just like went through the points without actually connecting them.
Well, with these though, because I have watched like a couple of different little docos and shows like Toddlers and Tiaras, and the interview was very important.
Yes.
And,
like, definitely.
The way that you train for it is by, like, watching the news and, you know, being in touch with what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I feel like tomorrow, now that I've listened to this, I could find some, like, common beauty pageant questions and I could ask them to you.
Oh, and I'll try and give a beauty pageant answer?
Yeah.
We should do that.
We could do that. And hopefully you don't give an answer like that because, but then again, you might start mentioning Iraq and South Africa about maps, so who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? If you want to check out that clip, Miss Teen USA 2007, amazing.
I'm not sure if I've asked you this before, but where do you sit on, like, horoscopes, crystals, spiritual stuff?
I don't know. I think Eden's into it. I don't know.
So, like, if you read your horoscope, do you accept it? Do you just kind of go...
I go, oh, cool. That'd be fun if it happens.
Okay. See, it interests me.
Mm.
I dive into it a tiny little bit. I love to read a horoscope here and there and kind of see what different things might mean. But it doesn't rule my life or anything like that. I don't predict what I do based off a horoscope.
I'd love to get my palm read.
I want to do that as well.
If there's any palm readers / mediums out there, come into the studio, read our palms.
We want a reading. Yeah. That'd be great. So have you heard of numbers following you?
No.
Before? So I don't know, you probably don't realise it until you start thinking about it, but every now and then, like, numbers just constantly pop up. Like, usually it's on a clock because that's the most common place that you look at numbers.
Right.
And, like, every time you look at a clock, it's, like, always something 21 or you
might
have, like, different numbers just appear. Like, you hear the same number in songs. Like, there seems to be, there can be a trend of numbers following you, which I've kind of gotten accustomed to. Like, it seems I've had, like, a couple of times that 1111 always pops up for me, which is like...
Make a wish.
Yeah, so I always do that, things like that. But I did a bit of research into it because I had a number following me. Well, I thought I did. So basically, if you see a repeating number, it can be a definite sign that manifestation is coming or something big is about to happen, because when we're in alignment, that's when magic happens.
Right.
So our body's in a line with a number. And then there's all these different theories about different numbers mean different things. And if you see it on a clock, it means something compared to if you see it just on, like, a poster. There's a whole world around the numbers. Which...
See, I am interested in it. Like, that is interesting. But I think I just don't. I just can't believe it. Well, maybe one day I will, but right now I'm just like, that's, you know, great luck. That's really, really, you know, convenient.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I just believe everything happens for a reason. But either way, I did have a number what I thought was following me, and I didn't realise it until my boyfriend Greg's pointed it out. And this was a couple of weeks ago when we were in South Australia, and he said to me, he's like, did you realise that the number 23 is following us? And I was like, what do you mean the number 23? And he said, well, last night for dinner, what was our table number? And I said, 23. And then at that day, we checked into hospital for me to get surgery. And he's like, what's our room number? I was like, 23. And I was like, oh, my God, it's actually following us. And he's like, and then how old are you? And I was like, 24, you idiot. So he thought he was getting really in tune with that number following us. And he's like, oh, she's 23. You know, I'm not 23.
Going all Sherlock, like, da-da-da.
That's literally the moment in his eyes. And he's like, I've cracked the code that 23 is following us. And I turned to him like, I'm not 23, you idiot. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Did 23 pop up at all again?
I haven't noticed it.
Okay.
But maybe it has for him. But either way, good to know my boyfriend knows my age, and I've reiterated as to why I'm the one that fills out the forms in our relationship, because apparently he doesn't know how old I am.
Bit of a throwback for myself, which is school reports. My mum brought this up the other day. She said, I found all your school reports. I don't know what to do with them. Do you want to keep them? And I'm like, photograph some of the comments and send them through. And I was like, and she said, okay, do that. So she photographed them, texted them through to me. And as I was reading them, I chuckled a lot about some of the things that my primary school teachers have said about me.
Well, with those, like with going back all that time, are you the same person as you were in school?
Well, there are elements where it's yes, I'm the same, and elements where no, I've changed. I'm 20, you know, 20 plus, maybe 15 plus years older than what I was during these times. But I thought I'd read out some of these comments, because everyone, I feel like, if you've grown up here in Ballarat, you've gone to school here in Ballarat, primary school, whether it's, you know, any primary school around Ballarat, you've got reports that happen every half year, every year, or whatever happens down here in Victoria. And they're always a lot of fun to read through many, many years later. Like this one, year two, I think Mrs. Pollock was my teacher in year two. Although competitive, Josh is now accepting more graciously the fact that you cannot win all the time.
Have you actually accepted that, though?
Yeah, I'm not competitive. Well, yeah. Netball, I'm competitive. Year three, I'm so used to losing, it's not even funny, and I'm not even trying to get sympathy. Year three, he has a keen sense of humour and dynamic disposition, which occasionally needs to be curbed. He is extremely well-liked by all his peers. That's good. So I'm a well-liked
class
clown.
You're the popular kid.
Well, I didn't know it back then, but apparently. Year three, again, this is second half of year three. Josh is a confident speaker and enjoys sharing news with his peers.
Well, that makes sense for the job that you're in.
That's what I thought. Jumping forward to year five, Joshua's forte is definitely in the area of performing arts. His irrepressible humour and enthusiasm to entertain has sometimes employed well.
What apart from like this job, because people could consider this somewhat of a performing
I guess so, yeah.
Have you done like drama and stuff
like that? Oh, yeah, I've done drama. I did drama, I've done acting, been in short films.
Oh, right, over there.
Been in all this sorts of stuff. And I just want to say one more, okay. That was year five. Later in that same year, I got a second semester report. Mm. It says, Josh has made a quantum leap in his application. The persona of the class clown needing to entertain everybody has all but disappeared, and he now approaches all work in a well-organized, determined manner. So something happened in year five. I have no idea. Maybe I just matured overnight.
I don't want to. I don't know if I should comment on that or not. But
no, definitely not.
I'm curious now that you've brought up your own ones about me, because I still remember school a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what mine might say. Maybe I'll flick mum and dad a message and I'll see if I can get some of my old ones and read them out on air.
Yeah, that's right. And if anyone listening has got some funny comments that they remember from their school reports, please let us know. Send us a message, PowerFM Ballarat. You're going to bring yours in tomorrow.
Yeah, contact your parents. If mum can find them, yeah.
Okay, we'll see what you were like as a child.
Snapchat, baby Snapchat. Snapchat.
Right.
Time to get serious. Welcome to Snack. Oh my God. My brain is. Oh, I want to swear at it. This is what happens when you take 3 weeks off, because the only person I talked to was my dog. So lots of fun. Anyways, here is what make. What. Oh, can I go home? Jesus. Thank God not many people are in their cars going to work at the moment.
No, you're right. You've getting all the tradies going. Come on, Maddie, you can do it.
Third time's the charm.
Okay, here we go.
Here's what's making news in the snack world.
Amazing.
Okay, here we go. Krispy Kreme is selling wedding donuts now as an alternative to the traditional tiered wedding cake. The donut chain has unveiled the Wedding Dozen, costing $39.95 for a custom-made pack of 12 with a minimum order of 3 dozen. I'm not saying you have to be getting married, but they have a wedding dozen now. So Aussie brides and grooms can say I do on their big day with tasty donuts drizzled in creamy white chocolate truffle and sprinkles of pearl sugar.
Yes.
They're really cool.
I want that.
Can we just pretend we're getting married so we can go and get them?
Greeks, can you just hurry up, please? Come on.
Yeah, propose me already so I can go buy wedding donuts.
What better opportunity? What better opportunity are you going to get?
And also making snack news, if you are a gluten-free person, you know, there's been making waves with what's available to people. Well, Arnott's have gotten on board, endorsed by Celiac Australia. Arnott's have now baked the tastiest gluten-free biscuits money can buy. Finally, snacking salvation for the estimated 6 million Aussies who avoid gluten. They're introducing a new... This was off their website. That's exactly what they said. Snacking salvation. They're introducing a new range of gluten-free biscuits that don't compromise on taste and quality. The all-star lineup includes gluten-free versions of Scotch Finger, Tiny Teddies, and Choc Ripple biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now available at Woolies that you can go and buy.
Yummo.
And finally, Sanchuro, which we don't have in Ballarat for some stupid reason, they have just introduced snack packs.
I'm all for it.
And they have got Biscoff ones.
I'm so all for it.
So when this lockdown ends and I can go to Melbourne next, you know where I'll be heading.
So
and that's all for snack news.
The pasta challenge, the Ballarat pasta challenge we spoke about.
Yes, it's been starting over this week and now it is officially up and running. You can go and vote, you can go and taste, you can do all the things.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of different businesses around Ballarat taking part. One of those businesses is my guilty pleasure, Mr. Tim Bone and his Toasties, and he's on the phone. Good morning.
Morning, Josh. Morning, Maddie. How you going, guys?
Yeah, look, we're doing well. I'm on the Commerce Ballarat website at the moment. There's a whole heap of different pasta dishes. What is yours? What one are you bringing to the table?
Yeah, so, Josh, for the pasta challenge, my entry is, of course, it's got to be a toasty, but I had to throw some pasta in the mix. So I'm doing a duck mac and cheese toasty called the Mighty Duck, which I'm pretty excited about. I haven't done this one before. And it's, pretty epic.
There's a photo of it here, and it's you're spooning it out, which just looks amazing.
Yeah, just think ooey gooey mac and cheese with beautiful roasted shredded duck and Soul Kitchen bacon through it. I mean, it's sort of a heart attack in a toasty, but it's going to be delicious.
Well, it's also just carbs on carbs, which I love, and I am absolutely obsessed. As soon as you said that you were doing this, I was like, I need to get my hands on one of them.
Yep.
Now, part of the Ballarat Pasta Challenge is everyone going out and trying all the different ones that are around town and stuff like that. So how can people get their hands on yours?
Yeah, it's a fantastic initiative from Commerce Ballarat to try and encourage people to support the local hospitality business, which, of course, is... getting ravaged at the moment with these lockdowns. So, I encourage people not only to get one of my toasties, but to get out, order some takeaway this weekend, look up on the Commerce Ballarat or check out on my socials at Timbone Food with what's going on. But, you can get my duck mac and cheese toasty, my entry into the pasta challenge, only on Deliver because I'm not at the farmer's market tomorrow just because it's still running, but... I just didn't want to encourage hundreds of people to come up and congregate and get a toasty. I thought, keep people at home so you can order a toasty on the Deliver app and website and get a hot duck toasty delivered straight to your home in the morning. You don't even have to get out of your PJs.
Yeah, that's right. So what we're going to do next, Tim is going to stick around and I am going to pitch some ideas to Tim, okay?
Yes, because he is a chef.
Yes.
He's very famous for toasties, but he's very talented in other aspects. So you've got some ideas you want a chef's approval on?
I'd love some chef's approval.
Okay.
We're going to pitch him some, I'm going to pitch him some ideas after this one from Tom Grennan. Stick around, Tim. Tim Bone is on the phone. And he's doing a pasta, a roasted duck and mac and cheese toasty for the pasta challenge. I thought I would pitch some of my own ideas to him. You came up yesterday, Maddie, with the pie.
The carbonara pasta pie. I want to see it done. I feel like I could make it at home by myself, but I don't have a pie maker and things like that. So someone else needs to do it. But you've apparently come up with some ideas you want to pitch to a chef, and who better than... Tim Bone.
That's right. Tim is on the phone. Okay, Tim, what about a ravioli sausage roll?
Ravioli sausage roll. I like it. I'm just trying to picture it.
I'm really confused by this too.
Don't worry, Tim. I couldn't picture it either.
Because technically, isn't a sausage roll already ravioli? Because the idea of ravioli is you put a filling and then you wrap it in something.
It's pastry with me. I guess you're right.
Do you have any other ideas?
I'm very intrigued anyway. I've got a couple more. Okay, this one I put a bit more effort into the imagination and the you know, the visceral feeling of it. Creamy bacon, smoked salmon, gnocchi, toasty.
Oh, hang on. You might be onto something there.
Yeah, you reckon?
One of the best pies I've ever had is a scallop pie in Hobart. So I'm thinking sort of it's got that sort of seafood feel to
it.
And with the gnocchi, I reckon that could work, mate.
A little bit of everything.
I like it.
One last one here. This one's just for the kids, maybe. A cheesy SpaghettiOs and Spam pie.
Oh, look. A classic spaghetti pie. Yeah, I think that's definitely a winner. The kids would absolutely love it. I do a spaghetti bolognese toasty. I call it the minced Vaughn, and people love that. So I think putting anything like that in a pie would definitely work as well.
You don't
I
think
like it, you've done well.
We could collab. you don't think the Spam will turn people off?
I don't know. It's funny, but Spam's actually coming back in vogue a little bit.
Is it really?
There's a lot of high end chefs that I see that are trying to turn Spam into a gourmet dish. So, yeah, I think you're on trend there, Josh.
Well,
he's right up there. The next Ballarat MasterChef is Josh Arthur.
With my Spam dish. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Tim, so much for having a chat.
Good on you guys. All the best. And congratulations on Little Esther. And
thank
Maddie,
you.
I hope your tonsils are doing well or lack of.
Well, yeah, there's no more tonsils there, but it doesn't affect
good,
the tasting of toasties.
Back.
Don't you worry.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Good on you guys and good on you, Ballarat. Get out there and support all the local restaurants and cafes this weekend in the Ballarat Pasta Challenge.
CAFs here in Ballarat do a lot of amazing work.
They do, and some of it revolves around foster caring. And today is National Pajama Day, which is all to raise awareness for foster caring.
Yeah.
So why not chat to CAFs here in Ballarat to learn all about it? We've got Wendy on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Josh and Maddie. Lovely to be with you today.
So for anyone wondering, how does the process for fostering work here in Ballarat?
Well, it works like this. We look after children who can't live with their family for a lot of reasons. Could be families impacted with family violence, could be a whole bunch of reasons. It may not be safe for young people to stay and live with their family. And so what CAFS has done for many, many years, we provide opportunities for foster carers to come and be trained and accredited. It's a fantastic process. So really, people often say, you can be a foster carer. Foster carers come in all shapes and sizes. It could be people that already have children. It could be people who are single with no children, same-sex couples.
Someone is listening right now and they're thinking, I have a spare room in my house. I could think that I could maybe do this. I want to learn more about it. How do they go about getting in touch with you guys and getting the process started?
Probably the best thing they can do is actually jump onto our website, and there's quite a good piece of information there. So cafs.org.au, and we run information nights. We provide, as you'd expect, a lot of support for foster carers, both in deciding is this right for me, but also what's involved. So a lot more detail about what's involved. Also, sometimes people say, I could become a foster carer, but I couldn't take a young person full time. So sometimes you could start by being a foster carer of respite. And that just means occasionally you'll take a young person into your home. Could be every couple of weekends.
It's just a great thing. And it's so good that the resource is so close. It's local. You can do it right here in Ballarat.
Yeah, look, I think that's one of the strengths. We're here in Ballarat. We've been here for over 155 years, so we know the community. Like, what a fantastic thing to do, to be able to support a child to stay in this community. Because I can say to you, one of the sad things is when we don't have enough foster carers, children actually sometimes have to get moved to other regions. And can you imagine? They have to leave their school, their family, and their friends. But if we can keep them here in Central Highlands in Ballarat, that's such a great thing for young people. It gives them such a chance to regain some stability. So the more people who put their hands up for foster caring, I think the better the whole community is.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get some more foster carers out there in Ballarat to help everyone, help the whole community. Thank you once again for joining us, Wendy.
Thank you, Maddie and Josh. Love talking with you this morning.
Well, that's it. Another podcast over. You can tune in to Josh and Maddie live weekdays from 6 on Power FM Ballarat.